Thanks for joining us on the Port City Church podcast. More information about Port City Church is available at portcitychurch.org.
Good morning, Port City Community Church. How are we doing today? Yes, 11 o'clock is live. This is great. Hey, I'm so excited to be with you guys and be with y'all in Jacksonville. Just as we gather together, really as a church, as a family, I hope you felt that today already. And I hope you'll continue to feel that. One of the interesting things about myself, so if we haven't met yet, my name is Clay Everett, and yeah, I get to lead our college students at Overflow and spend a lot of time with the next generation, the current future of our church. And what's funny is the times that normally Mike will ask me to come and speak on a Sunday is a Sunday where he's not here, where he's like in Italy or some like great place, right? No. And so I get to speak and, but he's not here, you know, so then he'll come back. Hey, how was it? You know, whatever, and watch it. But today it's an honor to me because I get to come and speak and share just the things I've been learning, with Mike being here. And so I don't want to miss this moment because, for myself and for so many of you, Mike Ashcraft has been a voice in our lives, a voice that has challenged us and encouraged us towards Jesus. And I found it interesting as he was up here with the welcome. I don't know if you noticed, but he had a pencil in his hand the whole time. Did y'all see that? He's on the microphone and a pencil. I'm like, what is he doing? But it's like Mike is a learner. Y'all, like Mike is always thinking and processing through the lens through which he sees God and helping us to see God more clearly and to know what it looks like to walk with God in our everyday, ordinary lives. So can we just say thank you to Mike Ashcraft, our pastor, together and honor him for who he is and what he does. Love it. So something that you may or may not know about me is that I'm a big time introvert, okay? And what's funny is I realized I share that every time I stand on this stage on a Sunday. And I think it's like my security blanket, right? It's like, hey, I'm an introvert, so if you see me on the street and I don't say hi to you, that's why, right? I'm just like in my own world, right? And the reality is I love people. I love people, but people drain me. Anybody else feel that? Right, when you're with a lot of people, it's like it takes your energy. And introverts are like, what are you talking about? I mean, extroverts are like, what are you talking about, right? Like people give me life and energy. And so for me as an introvert, if I need to refuel, I have to go away from people. Love people, but I just need a little bit of time. I call it clay time, right? I just need a little bit of clay time. And one of my favorite ways to do this, and this might be a tip for you if you're an introvert, is I love to go on car rides. And this started for me, I think, when I was a kid, my dad, on a Saturday morning, almost every Saturday it felt like, unless maybe we had sports or something, we would go out to breakfast together. We'd go to McDonald's, and I'd get that big breakfast, you know, with those scrambled eggs that are like in a square shape, you know what I'm talking about? And the hash brown, the sausage, and the biscuit with the grape jelly in between. Oh, so good. And we'd eat together, and then we'd just go drive. And I mean, maybe because I was a kid, but like I didn't know where we were going. I don't think my dad had, we just would go drive and just spend time together, right? So as soon as I got my driver's license, man, I would just go drive. I was gone. As soon as I got my license and my red Jeep Cherokee, I was out. And I was doing stuff, but man, I would spend that time sometimes just to go and just be by myself. And then through college, I drove a lot. I like to say that it was a study break, but it was probably more of avoiding studying, right? It's like, instead of being in the library, I'm gonna go get my car and just drive and like clear my head. And then through young adult, you know, getting a good job and a family, I just go drive and just be by myself. And you know, then you start doing like family vacations with the in-laws and and it's like, hey, after a couple days all together, I just need to go drive. I'll just go drive. And when you go drive like that, like I do, what you do is you just go. You don't have a destination in mind. You just drive and you get to an intersection and you go, I might go straight or I might go left or might go right. I don't know, we'll just see, right? And here's the thing is like, as I was preparing for today, I went for a drive and I did that. And I was just driving and I was actually on the phone because I still had work to do. And I actually got distracted and I was just kind of like going whatever and ended up going to over the Isabel Holmes Bridge. And I took a right on 421. And I'm driving 421 and honestly, I felt some like fear. I'm like, I've never been out here before. Like, where is this? Like, where am I going? What's gonna happen? And I come to this intersection and there's this beautiful sign and it's in blue and it says to I-40. I'm like, I know where that is. I'm following that, right? And so I just drove. And when you're like me and you like to just go for drives, What you do is you just come to intersections, you just kind of in the moment, like you just decide. And there's a word for this. When you come to a place and you just kind of decide willy-nilly which way to go, there's a word, and they call that wandering, right? You just aimlessly wander. And for an introvert, just spending time by themselves, recharging, aimlessly wandering is a great strategy for a Saturday afternoon drive. But aimlessly wandering is not a great strategy for our lives, right? To aimlessly wander just through life and just kind of as we make decisions and choices, we just kind of like, well, we just kind of go with the flow. It's not a great strategy for our lives. Because when we wander aimlessly, inevitably we come to a place in life where we wonder how we ever got there. Anyone ever felt that way? You just stopped and you said, how did I get here? Like, what did I do to get here? Or maybe for some of you, it's more like, how did I get here again? In that place I said I would never be again, and yet here I am. How did it happen? The reality is we get to where we are, one choice, one decision, and one turn at a time. We always get to where we are, one choice, one decision, one turn at a time. And today, in my time with you, I just wanna share what I've been learning, what I've been processing. And as I do, I wanna help give you hope and a vision for how to live your life with purpose and direction and what God's calling you to. Purpose and direction so that you would not just simply wander through life and end up wondering how you got there. To do that, we're just gonna read one verse together today. It comes from the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. It's a verse that I read at the beginning of this year and it stood out and I haven't been able to let it go. I'm just still kind of thinking about it and processing. So we're gonna read it together. And then we're just gonna kind of break some things down and apply it to our lives today. Is that cool? Okay, let's read this together. This is Jeremiah 6:16, and this is what it says. It says, this is what the Lord says. Okay, stop right there. This is what the Lord says. Jeremiah is writing that. He's getting ready to declare what God said. These are God's words. These are God's words to the nation of Israel, but they are very much so God's words to us today. This is what the Lord said. He says, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. That sounds pretty good, right? This is it, y'all. This is what we're looking at today. We're just gonna look at this one verse and say, God, what are you showing us? What are you saying to us in it? So let's read it one more time. Is that cool? It says, this is what the Lord says. These are God's words. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. These are God's words to us today, church. Let me pray for us. Father God, as we come to your word and we read your words, God, I pray that you would just make them alive to us, God, that you would just speak to us. God, I pray that I would get out of the way, and God, that you would speak, God, that you would teach. Even in this moment, God, that you would teach me and speak to me and speak through me. God, help us to know what it looks like to live a life with purpose and direction. And God, I pray for the person in the room today, in our church today, who feels like they're in a place they never thought they would be. God, I pray that you give them hope and a vision forward. God, we love you. We pray all this in Jesus' name, amen. So when I read this verse, it was very impactful and very timely to me because if you didn't know this, we all just hit a huge crossroads in our lives. We hit a huge crossroad in time. You know what that was? About a month ago? New Year's, right? New Year. The old year was gone, the new year came. Old decade gone, new decade we stepped into. We all stepped into the 2020. We've all made a big deal about 2020 vision, right? All these ideas. But the reality is, y'all, we love New Year's, right? Especially at Port City Community Church, because Mike's our pastor, right? He loves New Year's, like more than Christmas. I don't get it. He loves New Year's, because New Year's is this opportunity to see new potential in the way forward. It's this kind of, this opportunity to kind of wipe the slate clean and start over and look ahead, right? A New Year's is a crossroads where we leave the past behind and we look ahead to possibilities, almost endless possibilities. Right, 2019 for you could have been really bad. really hard. Could have made a lot of mistakes. Could regret a lot. But 2020, there's a possibility forward. What is it gonna look like? And a lot of you guys, including myself, probably did the personal retreat. We picked one word and we're like, yeah, 2020 is gonna be the year, right? Everything's changing. And we had some vision, we had some hope. And then a month and like, what, 9 days in, some of us were like back to reality, right? We're like, oh, man, I feel like I've already blown it. Or I feel like I missed that opportunity to make a change in my life, right? The new year is a crossroads for sure, and some of you feel already defeated, but I wanna give you good news and hope is that, y'all, we face crossroads in our lives every day, all the time. We face these opportunities to change, opportunities to take a new direction or a new path or a new way, right? And these crossroads are these opportunities to grow, to become, to change, to be who God has made us to be. But crossroads are also opportunities to stumble, right? And to go back and to retreat, right? Like a crossroads is an opportunity to go this way or that way, to choose this way or to choose that way, to decide to speak harshly or to decide to speak kindly to your kid who's driving you crazy, right? We hit these crossroads in our life. It's like, I know I can respond this way or I can respond that way. It's a chance to make a choice. Am I gonna take the easy way, maybe the slightly shady way in my business, or am I gonna choose the way of integrity, even though it might cost me financially, right? And we hit these crossroads all the times, and there are opportunities for us to grow. There are opportunities for us to change. The question is not, will we hit crossroads? The question isn't, will you hit a crossroad this afternoon in your life? The question is, what will you do when you hit the crossroad? And y'all, I think that Jeremiah 6:16 has a lot to say to us. I think God has a lot to say to us through this, and it's been helpful to me, so I wanna walk us through a couple of things. What do we learn when we hit a crossroad in our life? What should we do? What is God calling us to? And the very first thing I think God is calling us to is to pay attention. To pay attention. Listen, you end up walking aimlessly through life when you don't pay attention. When you don't pay attention to what's going on, that's when you're gonna walk aimlessly through life. Look, I remember a time when I was driving home at night from a friend's house in high school and wasn't paying attention. All of a sudden, I'm driving, I'm like, oh, and I realized I ran through a red light, like big time. I just went straight through it, right? Because I wasn't paying attention to what was going on. Y'all, if we're gonna learn to live a life with purpose and direction, we've gotta learn to pay attention. The problem is, in our day and age, in our digital age, it is harder than ever for us to pay attention. Anybody feel that? It's so hard to pay attention. Y'all, we have thousands of things that feel like they are fighting for our attention every day, right? The news, media, social media, your kids, your work, your extracurricular activities, all the things that are going on that's always fighting for our attention. It's like we don't know where to put our attention, right? And worse than that, there are thousands of things every day that are fighting and their aim is to distract you. Oh, we are so distracted. And y'all, to think, I don't have my phone up here, but to think that our phones that you have in your pocket, that social media, that 24/7 access to information and entertainment has no effect on us is crazy. It has an effect on us, right? They say today that the average human being has an attention span of 8 seconds. 8 seconds, yeah. Like you can think about one thing and pay attention to it for only 8 seconds. That doesn't sound very long, does it? Right, that's shorter than a goldfish. I don't know how scientists measure the attention span of a goldfish, but they say that a goldfish can think about one thing and hold their attention to one thing for 10 seconds. And we're 8 seconds. And we're like, what, squirrel, right? We're easily distracted. It's hard for us to hold our attention on anything for any amount of time. And so y'all, we're gonna have to fight for attention. God says to stand at the crossroads and look, to pay attention. We're gonna have to fight for attention. I think the other thing we have to do is we have to learn to slow down. We're so busy. We're busy, busy, busy people. We have lived in a culture that glorifies being busy, right? When someone asks you how you're doing, it's like, I'm busy, but good, right? It's like, that's like the ultimate, right? I'm productive in my life, I'm busy. But the reality is we're so busy that it's hard for us to slow down long enough to even pay attention. That's why God says to stand at the crossroads. This is a stop sign. This is a full stop, not a rolling stop, right? We want to kind of cruise through the stop sign. People, don't do that. Stop, full stop. God's saying full stop and look and pay attention to what's happening. If we're going to live a life with purpose and direction, we got to stop long enough that we can actually see what's really happening, what's really going on. Second idea I think Jeremiah leads us to is this. Not only do we need to pay attention, but we need to look back. We need to look back at our story or your story and God's story. He says, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask the ancient path. Ask the ancient way. Right, y'all, we live in a world that says that we have to be constantly innovating. That the only good ideas are new ideas, right? A world that says to kids that your parents have no idea what you're living in. They have nothing to offer. Yo, that's not true, right? That's not true. As a parent, I have two daughters, and as soon as they could understand words, we started teaching them the proverb says that don't be wise in your own eyes. You know that? Don't be wise in your own eyes. And it's great to give to our kids, but maybe we need to take it for ourselves a little bit, right? Don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't think that your way is the best way or the only way, or that it's up to you to innovate and to figure it out. You know, there's an ancient way behind us that is helpful to give us vision for where we're going. And the first thing I would say is this, is that we need to look back at our stories. What's interesting when it comes to this idea of crossroads, these points in our life, we have to make a decision, we have to make a choice, we have to pick a direction. Most crossroads you've come to in life, you've been to before, right? You've been there before. In your business, you've been in that place where you had to make that choice between doing something shady and working from integrity. You've been there before, right? You've been there before. You had to make that choice of how you're gonna respond to your friend. Harshly, get it off your chest, right? That's what the world says. Or with kindness and gentleness, like Jesus calls us to. You've been there before, so the question is, what did you do? Which direction did you choose last time you were at that crossroad? Right? And if you picked a bad decision, if you made a wrong choice and you felt it and you knew it and you left a wake of hurt and pain behind you, don't do that again. It's pretty simple. But if you came to that crossroads and last time you made a hard choice and it was difficult, but you knew it was right and on the other end you saw it was good, then do that again. Like, look back at your story. How have you come to these places in your life before and learn from your past? But here's the reality, y'all. None of us in the room, you are not ancient. Don't let anyone tell you you're ancient, right? None of us have a past long enough to help us with every crossroad we're gonna face in life. And yet, we have access to an ancient path, an ancient story, the Bible, right? God's words to us. Gotta help us learn to make decisions and choices in life. But this is how a lot of us have viewed this in the past. We're like, I've got a big choice to make. I'm gonna just kind of flip open my Bible and let's see what it has to say. On another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue. Ah, it's not helpful, God, you're not relevant to my life, right? Like, we want the Bible just to tell us what to do, like the magical eight balls, right? Just tell me what to do, yes or no, right or left. But y'all, this book, it's not that. This book is a series, a library of books that tells a story. It tells one story, the story of our God, who he is and how he is, what he thinks about you, how he sees you, what he calls you. It's a story about how, yes, we have fallen short, but Jesus came for us to pay the price for our falling short and to make us right with God. And so when you look back at this story, this ancient story, what do you see? Because when we see condemnation and judgment and shame, Well, that's not very helpful. But when we look back and we see a God who promises to never leave us or forsake us, a God who is faithful even when we are faithless, when we look at this story and we see hope and redemption, we see peace and purpose, that changes how we see our future. When we look back here, it changes how we see the way forward. So we've got to learn to look back. Look back at your story, but don't stop there. Let's look back at God's story. Not just give me an answer, but who are you, God, and how are you, God? Because it's knowing that in the moment changes everything. So we gotta stop, slow down, fight for attention, see what's going on. We gotta look back beyond ourselves, not to be wise in our own eyes. The third thing we've got to do is we've got to learn to look up. We've gotta learn to look up. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask the ancient path. Ask the good way. Look, asking requires humility and confidence. Asking always is gonna require humility and confidence. And I can't read that line, ask the good way, without thinking that this is God speaking and that God is saying, ask me the good way. Ask me the way that you should go. Ask me what's best for you. Ask me for directions. But the reality is, none of us like asking for directions, do we? Oh, we hate asking for directions. Men in the room, males, we really hate asking for directions, right? At all costs. Now, we have, I get it, we have our phones now and we can just follow GPS, but like, we don't like asking for directions. Sometimes you still gotta ask. Sometimes you still get lost. I know you do. But here's the thing, it's not just the guys in the room, it's the ladies too. Yo, my wife hates asking for directions. She hates it. And we don't like asking for directions for probably a lot of different reasons, but if I were to narrow it down to two, you could probably guess. I think it's pride and fear. Pride and fear. Right? We don't like asking for directions because we don't like admitting that we don't know. We don't like to admit that we took a wrong turn or two or three or four or five to get us where we are, right? We don't like to admit that we're lost because of our pride. We feel like we should be able to do it. But then fear, right? What happens when you're so lost that you pull into the gas station and you sit there like mustering up courage to go in to ask for help? It's fear that when you go in, you say, hey, I don't know where I am and I don't know where I'm going. Can you help me? That person's gonna look at you like you're stupid. Like something's wrong with you. Like, do you not have a phone? Can you not follow directions? Right? We're afraid when we ask for help, how people are gonna respond to us, what they're gonna think of us. Right? Students, you're afraid to ask your teachers for help because they're gonna think that you haven't been listening. No, it's just that you need help, right? Pride and fear keep us from asking for directions. But asking is always gonna require humility and confidence. And I love this, y'all. In Hebrews, it tells us that because of what Jesus did, that we can enter the throne room of God with confidence and that he will give us grace and what we need in our time of need. That because of Jesus, because he humbled his life down, we can come to him humbly saying, yeah, I need help. Like I'm in a time of need here, God. But we can also enter with confidence. Because of what Jesus did, we are right with God. We don't have to fear him, we can walk in confidence to him. And I think that's exactly what God is inviting us into. He's saying like, come to me. When you're lost, when you don't know the way forward, when you don't know if you can do what you know is right, come to me and ask me for help. You know, I think this is the biggest point I want to make for us today. That we can approach God with confidence, not because of our performance, but because of Jesus's performance for us. We believe that God has a purpose and a plan for your life, that God literally has good works prepared beforehand for you to walk in. That's what Ephesians 2 tells us. That like today, God's got good things for you to walk in, good things for you to do, things that give him glory and that are good for other people. Next week, next month, next year, next decade, God's got good works for you. He's got a purpose and a plan for your life. And college students, they're trying to figure out their plan for their life, right? They're trying to figure out what job they're gonna have and who they're gonna marry and where they're gonna live. We all face those questions and choices and unknowns. And the reality is for us to think that it's up to us to figure it out is like ultimate pride, right? God's got a plan for my life, but I've got to figure it out on my own. God says, no, come to me. Ask the good way. Ask the way forward. Ask for my purposes and plans for you. If we can do that, if we can slow down long enough to stand and look, to see the choice in front of us, to look back and learn from our past and God's story, and if we can look up, then the next thing we have to do is this, y'all. We simply have to walk in it. Right? If we come to a crossroads and we figure out the way or we understand a way, ultimately we have to just walk in it. Because to know the good way is way different than to walk in the good way, right? To know what you should do is different than to actually do the thing you know you should do. Y'all, it's not our knowledge, but our steps that determine our direction. It's not what you know, it's where you step that determines the direction of your life. You can know all the right things, but you can step in the wrong direction. It's gonna lead you to a place that you know you shouldn't be. It's not our knowledge, it's our steps that lead us in a direction. As I was processing this for myself, I was thinking about my one word. So I don't know, if you weren't here last week, Maddie Gosley, Mike's daughter, shared her one word, garden. Anybody change your word to garden after last week? It's like, man, that was so good. I want that word for me. Well, my word is not garden. It's not that cool. My word is go. And it's like, compared to garden, it sounds stupid. But the reality is for me is that, man, like so often what I've realized is I know the way I should go. I know the thing I should do. I know I should get up off the sofa and serve my wife. But to get up and to do it, that's another story. Because I'm tired and I had a hard day and I want everybody to feel bad for me, right? And I'm an introvert. I need clay time on the sofa. No, it's like I wanna be a person who when God says go, I go. Do I know everything of how it's gonna work out? Do I know all the curves in the road? No, but I'm gonna go in that direction. Right, that's what we want. We want for God to say, hey, you're gonna be a doctor living in San Francisco, married to this person, and we're like, okay, I get that. Now, how's it all gonna happen? But God says, go. Right? Jesus' last words to us, to his disciples were, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. Go and make disciples. Well, I know I should make disciples. I know, we should teach and baptize. It's like, go. Take a step. This is our steps that determine the direction of our life. When we know the way that God's calling us, when we know the good way, the final step is just to walk in it. To walk in it. When we know the good way, the next step is the first step. I want to make that clear. When we know the good way, the next step is the first step. Right? It's not the figure out the 50th step, it's the very next step. And we just start walking in that way. God says, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask the ancient path, ask the good way, and walk in it, and you will find a rest for your souls. Yo, that's a promise that a lot of us in this room today and at church today need to hear. The promise, if you missed it, is that you will find rest for your souls. Is that physical rest? Is that like a good nap kind of thing? No, rest for your souls. That is like the longings of your soul, the deepest desires of your heart, what you need to fill you up. God promises to give that to us. Not when we stand back and wait, not when we try to figure it all out, but as we walk. It's in the walking that we find rest. This is the bottom line for today. It's when you walk in God's ways that you find rest for your souls. It's when you walk in God's ways that you find rest for your souls. The reality is this world, our culture, our flesh, the enemy, are gonna promise us a lot of other ways that are gonna satisfy us, that are gonna make us happy, right? And a lot of times, even though we know, I feel like I should go this way, we go this way because it promises to do something for us and in us. But y'all, sin never holds up its end of the promise. It never delivers, right? Sin never makes us happy. It only makes us empty. And so many of us will walk and we keep walking. We get trying to fill up something in us that we feel like is missing. And all the while, God is saying, hey, walk in my ways. Walk according to my plan for your life. Walk according to who I say you are. And it's in that place you'll find rest for your souls where everything in you will be filled up to overflowing. You know, we live in a world where a lot of us are tired and unsatisfied, and we're longing for something more, and God is offering us the better way, the better way. So what does this look like for us? When we learn to hit these crossroad moments where we could go this way or that, that we would stop and pay attention, that we would look back to learn, that we would look back here, that we look up to him, say, God, where do you call me to? And that we would walk in it. What does this look like in your everyday, ordinary life? Because that's what we need to know, right? Couple of thoughts as we close. One, I was thinking about, what are these crossroad moments that we hit? Like, when do we hit crossroad moments? And my first thought is we hit crossroad moments every morning. New Year's morning is a great opportunity for endless possibilities. But every morning, it says that God's mercies are new, right? Amen. So what happened yesterday doesn't have to define what happens today. The choices you made yesterday don't have to dictate the choices you're gonna make today because God's mercies are new there. And one of the things that Mike Ashcraft continually implores us to is what? A quiet time. Daily time with God in scripture, reading and trying to understand, in prayer and talking to God and journaling and processing things out. Y'all, Jeremiah 6:16 is a great vision for your time with God every morning. That what if making a quiet time became a priority in your life, and that time was a time to stop, to slow down in the distractions and the busyness of your life, to look and to see what's going on, how are you feeling, what's happening in life, to look to an ancient way, to spend time looking up at God, saying, God, what does this mean for me and how do I live this out? And then to walk in it from that place, knowing that God is with you. Not just calling you to something, but empowering you to do it. Man, what a great vision for our quiet time. Every morning, those morning crossroads. But it's not just those morning crossroads that we hit, it's those major crossroad moments that we hit, right? Those major decisions in life, big things hit your screen, hit your calendar, hit your decision-making. You're like, I don't know what I'm gonna do, right? I don't know if I'm gonna pick this job or that job or say no to this or yes to this. What a great pattern for that, right? Y'all, we hit these major decision moments, and often we are type A, and so we're gonna fly through it. We're gonna make a decision, we're gonna go. Or we're lazy and we're gonna just pull back and we're just not gonna deal with the decision. We're gonna act like the decision's not there. That's my style, right? I don't see it, I'm not gonna decide. But man, we can step into those major decisions, stopping long enough to see, to look back, to look up, and then to walk in it. And here's the reality is when you are making big decisions in your life, not very often do we come out of making it a big decision and we know exactly the way to go. Right? Like, am I gonna move my family to Italy as missionaries, or are we gonna stay here? That was a decision that me and my family had to make. And we came through that time and we were like, we still don't know. But we spent time with God. We connected with him. We looked back and we felt like this was the way. And so we just took a step and we walked in that direction. And we continued to set step by step by step. Those major crossroad moments. But beyond that, church, we have moment by moment crossroad moments all day long. That's why we are here to help you walk with God. It's a walk. And every step has a choice to make. And the reality is, yeah, it'd be great to, like, in the course of a day, just be like, hey, time out, everybody. I gotta go make a big decision. So I'm gonna go stop, pay attention, look back, look up, and walk in it. No, like that's not the way like your day looks like, right? We gotta make decisions on the fly. And this idea of these moment by moment crossroads moments is that we would have a relationship with God because of Jesus, where we have confidence and humility to ask him and to avail ourselves to him, that in the day that we can be aware of him, that we can be aware of our moments, and that we learn just to step moment by moment in the good way, the way that God has for us, trusting him to lead us step by step, moment by moment. Oftentimes, church, I think that we quantify how we're doing, especially in our walk with God, based on where we are in our path, right? Like, how's your walk? You go to small group. How's your walk? Well, I'm walking really good now. Or, man, I just feel distant from God. We pay a lot of attention to where we are on the path. We often don't pull back to the crossroad moment and pay attention. Look back, look up, and then from there, walk in it. Let's pay attention to those moments to see what God is calling us to, so we can walk in the direction that God has for us, so that we would find rest for our souls. Sounds good, amen? Let's pray together. Father God, today, as a church, we admit that we're often lost, that we often have no clue of how we got to where we are in life, in choices, in decisions we've made. God, I just pray that through your words that you spoke through the prophet Jeremiah so long ago, God, that they would be real for us today. God, help us to slow down. Help us to see the beauty of your story in scripture, a story that would inspire us to move forward with purpose and direction in our life. God, that we would come to you desperately, dependently, asking for your guidance, for your leading. And God, that we would each take a step in the good way. And as we do, God, we would find that you meet our feet with ground, and that we would find rest for our souls. God, we love you so much. God, I pray that we would take this with us, even into today, a crossroads with possibilities to live our life the way that you've called us to. God, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.